Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. My name is Keith Tiede. I host the New Media Central podcast. And this week I'm talking about, of course, the RNC, the Republican National Convention. But first, this is something that just happened today. Biden backed out of the race. He no longer wants to be the candidate for the Democratic Party. Of course, I got on the internet and started going around listening to all the different comments from everybody. And of course, everybody's got massive amounts of comments because it's a huge thing. The guy's backing out of the race. He finally was convinced by all of the other people in the Democratic Party, or most of them, that he's unfit to run for four more years, and let alone even be able to finish out his term for the next 6 months or whatever it is, 5 months. Clearly, he's not able to. To the Democrats, that doesn't really matter because he's never been running it anyway. It's been the deep state. Barack Obama and others have been running this country while he sits in office, and he's just a puppet. He does whatever they say. My podcast this week is about the convention, and I speak about what, in my mind, were some of the outstanding speakers at the convention. There was a bunch. I didn't hit them all. It'd be 4 or 5 hour podcast to talk about all the speakers that were there and what they were talking about. But the ones that stood out in my mind, I'm talking about them a little bit. And I also talk a little bit about all the stuff they've been throwing at former President Trump to try to trip him up so that he can't run. But none of it worked. It's stupid. Why don't you just get out of the way and let this guy run and have a regular election where it's fair and even and everybody gets to vote, one person, one vote kind of thing, and let the Electoral College go, yeah, this is who this country wants to be president, period. Let's try that. Let's see how cool it would be to have a real election. Enjoy. Thank you. So, of course, I'm going to be talking about the Republican National Convention. I just want to talk about some of the speakers that I thought were fantastic. They all were. The whole vibe of the convention was just happy. Everybody was happy and clapping and standing on their feet and smiling and cheering on all the speakers. And it was just so great. A bunch of really awesome things happened when some speakers were up there talking. And just a few that are on the top of my head that I thought were fantastic. Of course, Newt Gingrich. He says the world is a dangerous place. And he was talking about how Donald Trump is going to take care of business. And when he's in office, these dictators of other countries are not going to be trying to get into a war with us because they know it'll be futile. Also, really like Donald Trump Jr. and his speech was incredible. But before he spoke, he introduced his daughter. Apparently, it was a last-minute decision. She just said, hey, I want to talk to the nation about my grandpa and how normal of a grandpa he is. So here she comes. She's really cute, 17 years old. And she said, my grandpa's just a normal grandpa who gives us candy when our parents aren't looking. And she also spoke about how sad it made her that someone tried to kill him. She couldn't believe anybody would try to kill somebody. All she really wanted to know was, is he okay? So it was a pretty inspirational speech from a young granddaughter of Donald Trump. Also, Donald Trump Jr., when he came back on, he said he reflected on the assassination attempt, and he said Donald Trump is Trump tough. And that's true. You don't get much tougher. when you get shot off and the Secret Service is trying to whisk you away and you're pumping your fist and saying, fight, 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 fight for this country. It's pretty incredible. Of course, J.D. Vance, he's become a favorite of mine. I didn't really know that much about him before he got on the short list for VP. I read his book, Hillbilly Elegy. It's really a pretty good book. He talks about growing up. He was extremely poor. They weren't sure if they were going to eat every day. And his parents were not great parents. He had several different fathers as his mother divorced and remarried other guys. And so pretty much his grandma and grandpa raised him. And it's an inspirational book. He went from rock bottom to, when the book was written, he wasn't the VP nominee. So it doesn't even discuss that in the book. But, I mean, he went to law school and became a lawyer. He became a lawyer, then he became a senator, and now he's the nominee for Vice President of the United States. Pretty amazing. Marco Rubio, I've always liked him, and of course he comes out and says the people matter the most of everything we do. You know, there's politics, there's all kinds of rhetoric floating around there, but it's the people that matter the most in this country, and that's what this administration, the Trump administration, if elected, is going to do. They're going to reinstate the people as the most important part of the thing. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, someone else also that I didn't know a lot about before he became Speaker, but I've been very impressed with him. He's very articulate. He speaks plainly and clearly, and at the convention, he said that Donald Trump is not going to just unify the Republican Party and Republicans in this country. He's going to unify the nation, everybody. Vivek Ramaswamy, of course, you know, if you've listened to this podcast, that he's my guy. I was really hoping that he would become the vice president nominee, hang in there with Trump for 4 years, and then become the president for the next eight or whatever. I mean, it was just, to me, perfect combination. Him and Vivek, Trump and Vivek in the White House would be unstoppable. But it wasn't to be. I hope he gets a top slot, like Secretary of State or some other cabinet position. It'd be awesome. I'm sure he will. I mean, there's no doubt that that'll happen. Laura Trump, she's incredible. She's the daughter-in-law of Donald Trump. And she also spoke about how much fun the rally was. She spoke for about 20 minutes, and she had a lot to say. And of course, I'll let you all watch it to see when she says in more detail. But she just was excited about the tempo of the rally. It was just fun. Everybody was having fun. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's the one who called Biden a liar in the State of the Union address. She stood up and called him a liar. Pretty gutsy, I think. But that's how she is. The people of her state say that. She's a firebrand. She gets out there and says what's on her mind and is very dedicated to it. Tim Scott, he's just fun to watch. He's so excited and vibrant, and he also, in my opinion, I think should get a cabinet position, and I'm pretty sure he probably will, or something in there. Kristi Noem, she's interesting to listen to. She's very, very pro-South Dakota, as of course she would be. She's the governor. And she talked about how after COVID, or during COVID, South Dakota was the only state that didn't crumble to the BS that was floating around that Dr. Fauci put out there. They didn't do any of that. They didn't mask. They didn't do any of that stuff in her state. And instead, they went to work, she said. While other states were sitting around waiting for this pandemic to blow through, she put her people to work. And she had a very low rate of COVID in her state. Tucker Carlson, I've always liked him a lot. When he was on Fox, it was great because he was very, very interesting to listen to. And the thing that was cool about when he was on Fox is you knew where you could find him. Of course, you still do, but it's not the same with him not being there. And the whole thing was a sham about how he was released from Fox. He is also going to be a big dog in this administration. I have no doubt about that. And then we won't have to worry about trying to listen to him on Fox. He'll be out there talking as part of the administration. Hulk Hogan, he's always fun to watch. He ripped his shirt off on stage. It's not a surprise. Eric Trump introduced his dad, and his dad gave the 90-minute speech. I think it was on Thursday night of the convention, and the whole speech of his was just phenomenal. It seemed like he started out kind of slow, and it was like, okay, he just got shot a week ago, less than a week ago, and he has been through the ringer. They've done everything they can to try to get rid of this guy, and he's still standing. He's Trump tough. I mean, they threw everything at him. The January 6th Capitol riot, they said it was his fault. Some states after that tried to get him removed from their ballots. Of course, that didn't work. But, I mean, it's just part of what they do. You know, they nailed him for the way he handled White House documents. Turns out Joe Biden did the same thing. The difference is, when you're the president, you can declassify anything you want. When you're not the president, you can't. Biden had stuff all over the place sitting in his garage right by his beloved Corvette. At least Donald's were inside the house. in a place where they can be gotten to easily, and it didn't matter because the president can declassify anything he wants to. So this Alvin Bragg guy, just when you see him, you want to throw up. He's disgusting. And he tried to get him on hush money to Stormy Daniels. And the hush money itself wasn't the problem, that he put this money in a, quote, deceptive account was what they got him on. 34 counts, because they put this money that they paid her, which is not illegal. They couldn't get him for the hush money because it's not illegal, so they got him for putting it in the wrong place on the ledger on their books. Well, once again, BS. He, what else? Falsifying records concerning the valuation of his properties. Letter James fined him $464 million. The biggest fine ever on anybody. They were trying to bankrupt him before the election, before the campaign. That didn't work either. They got him for trying to change the election results. He talked to that guy down in Georgia, the Secretary of State, in the 2020 election, and tried to get him to change 5,000 votes or something like that. Or come up with 5,000 votes or something like that. It was a bunch of bunk, too. It was a total scam election. He should have won that one by a lot, if not by at least a little. And they say he didn't win. And so he, you know, when something like that's going on election day, you try to find out what's going on. And if you see some corruption going on, you say, fix this. I should be winning this. He was allegedly conspired to obstruct and impede the certification of the electoral vote. Whatever. You know, and also they impeached him. And also the Russian hoax. And also many other things that they just tried so hard to use the justice system, everything they could throw at him to derail him so that he couldn't be in this election, because they knew what was going to happen, which is what's happening right now. He's going to win in a landslide, and he's going to have a lot of new House seats and Senate seats as a result of it. Oh, yeah, they threw something else at him, too, to try to derail him. They shot him in the head. Didn't get him. Shot him in the ear by luck. And some say by the grace of God. Come on, y'all. This is going to happen. Quit trying to throw your BS at him and just let this election go the way it should. And he's going to win in a landslide. We're going to pick up a lot of seats in the House and the Senate. And like I said before in previous podcasts, when you're so far left, you have to go very far right to get back. And then it evens out again. And there's balance. And that's what we try for, is balance. Thanks for listening.